Good afternoon, Seattle, Little Saigon. Good afternoon to Des Moines, Washington. Good afternoon to Beans, the French Bulldog, who I'm currently hanging out with because he's a son of a bitch, but I'm being paid, so that's okay too. It is Saturday, June the 20th, right around almost 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and I'm hanging out with my good friend Quincy. How you doing, Quincy?
Hey, man, first off, shout out to my nigga Beans over there holding it down. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to all the dogs, all the real cool raw dogs, all the cool bitches out there. What's up, Beans? I'm good, man. I'm chilling. I am living this dream, to be honest with you. I know that I make it a cliche and everything, but it is true. I have very few woes in my life right now. Very few.
Well, that's good. Anywho, you told me, Quincy, a few days ago that when you bought your place, you're thinking about buying a place, and I think that's cool. You were thinking about buying a bulldog, correct?
Yes.
Now,
yes. And I know that you were against that for some reason, so I would love to hear why.
Well, I mean, did you know that at least with a French bulldog, you have to clean its asshole? Like, most dogs can clean their own assholes, but French bulldogs can't.
You mean they can't?
They can't.
How are they cleaning them beforehand?
Well, the thing is, French bulldogs, man, they can't reproduce, so they wouldn't have even come into existence if not for the turkey baster and us. You know what I mean? So it's like,
what?
They can't reproduce, dude. They can't. If you were to release a French bulldog into nature, it has no way of reproducing on its own without help.
I mean, that's not really a fucking bad thing. I'm not really tripping off of that. To be honest with you.
I'm just saying.
I'm not really tripping off of that.
I'm just being clear about this, okay? Anyways.
I just think that bulldogs, they look awesome. As do, bulls, even though they get a bad rap, let me say this right now, it is not the dog. It is the owner. I will gladly die on that fucking hill, okay? Pit bulls got me over my fear of dogs. We're going to be honest with ourselves, you know what I'm saying?
But I think
I used to be definitely afraid of dogs.
But I think a pit bull can clean its own butt. And I think that makes it a better dog.
You know what, man? If cleaning my dog's asshole is the price I gotta pay for having a kick-ass dog, so be it. I'm not really tripping. I'm not really tripping at all.
Okay, I'm just saying, dude, because I swear it's one of the things I can't stand about this dog is my sister says, you gotta clean its butthole. And it's like, I don't know, man.
Just get a spray bottle and offer the best to
him. It's not that easy. He will run away from you. He will run, and he will bite your legs, and he'll give you a nasty infection, and then they'll have to cut off your feet. These are terrible.
Oh, shut up.
I'm telling you, French bulldogs are terrible. They're Beans, you're terrible. He's kind of sleeping.
Okay, then fine. I will give me an American bulldog. No big deal. Listen, whatever dog I do get, it's going to get spoiled within an inch of their natural life, okay?
Okay.
First and foremost, they are getting a crown, they're getting a gold necklace or a cool-ass bandana. Yes, they're going to get human food from time to time. Nothing but the best.
I like that, Quincy. I like that. I had some topics I wanted to talk about, but I was just curious. Is there anything you wanted to talk about? Like, anything interesting happened in the last couple days or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, with this whole election season, just like the last election season, I hate using this term, but I wish people would wake the fuck up and realize that these politicians, they don't care about you at all. They care about your vote and your money. Past that, you ain't shit to these niggas. At all. Okay? They'll do what it takes to get your vote and your money. Come through your hood. Do some bullshit photo op. You know what I'm saying? They'll eat whatever regional food, you know what I'm saying, is available so they can get that picture. You know what I'm saying? Because how many times have we seen presidential candidates meeting up with prominent Hispanic leaders, and the photo op is always them eating a fucking taco or some other type of Latin food? Like, the fuck out of here, man. That shit is stupid. That's, I mean, and especially with regards to our fellow black people, is it obvious now that they don't give a fuck about us, bro? I mean, all we do is get talked to stupidly and pandered to stupidly. I don't need none of that shit, man. You know, I really don't. Don't fucking pander to me. Lay your plan out for me. If it's good, you got my vote. If it ain't, then goddammit, I'm not gonna vote for you. But every single fucking election, or at least every presidential election, it's the same shit over and over again, man.
Yeah.
This is the most important election of our lifetime. You have to make your voice heard. Lives are at stake. Lives are at stake. Man, fuck you. Fuck out of here, man. I'm not with that damn dumbass shit. And again, you know, you spare me the whole voting for the lesser two evil shit because you're still voting for evil. I'm not okay with that. Maybe you are. Maybe you're okay with selling your soul. I'm not.
I agree with you. I mean, the last election I voted in was in 2012, and I voted Libertarian. In 2016, I was thinking about voting Libertarian, and then Gary Johnson said, bake the cake, and it was like, holy shit, are you actually a Libertarian? Because that doesn't make any sense. You know, again, I don't think it's cool to be homophobic, Quincy, but if a baker wants to sell cakes and chooses not to make cakes for a couple people who want to get married who happen to be, you know, gay, I think that's the right of a private business. And guess what?
Thank you.
Exactly. And guess what? Racist, homophobic people, in my opinion, are likely going to go out of business. So you don't need to do anything. They're choosing to exclude people. It's
First of all, in a free and open society, yes, discrimination is going to happen. Okay? And you know what? So fucking be it. First and foremost, why the fuck are you even going somewhere where your money is not going to be valued, appreciated, and wanted? That whole thing seems more like, you know, payback and malice more than anything. Because I want to bet there's at least five other bakeries that they could have gone to. But they just had to choose this one, knowing that they are a Christian couple, and knowing that they would have an issue with doing that shit.
Yeah.
They knew what the fuck they were doing. But like they said, you notice you don't hear any stories about a gay couple going into Dearborn, Michigan, which is 99% Arabic, and asking them to make a gay wedding cake. You don't hear none about that shit. You know why? Because they know goddamn well they can throw up the fucking building. But they're doing it to these Christians. Get the fuck not. Okay, listen. Again, free and open society, yeah. This family isn't going to happen. And guess what? If this one restaurant won't take your money, there's 50 other fucking restaurants that will. All right? Square business on that. Okay? If that system was set up, and let's say in some parallel universe, every white business said, you know what? We don't want you niggers' money. Get out of here. Okay, fine. You, in the span of a month, you will see a resurgence of Black Wall Street, not just in Tulsa, but in every other city and town that has a majority black population. You don't want our money? Fine. We'll keep that shit in the black community. Fuck off. You know?
I know, and that would, in all likelihood, be better for the people who are currently being victimized by a lot of political bullshit. But you're right. I mean, they say, if you don't vote this year, Quincy, you don't care. If you don't vote, you're just a son of a bitch.
I don't care. You're right. I don't care. I don't give a flying fuck who the president is, because I'm still going to hit my goddamn numbers regardless. Okay, I have a responsibility to myself, and I'm gonna fucking keep that. I'm gonna hold myself accountable. Okay, for real. Whether it's Biden or Trump, I'm gonna hit my numbers regardless, baby. Okay, the last time I voted was the 2014 midterms, and I think I just voted GOP straight ticket just to be an asshole. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, matter of fact, I did, I'll never forget. I went in to register the vote, and they didn't even ask me what point. You was about to put me down as a liberal. I'm like, no. I want to register as a Republican. He's like, what? It was like, you know, you're in the movies, and you hear the record scratch. It was just like that. I'm like, yeah, dog, I'm actually a Republican. And he was just like, huh. All right. I'm like, I almost punched that motherfucker. Like, the fuck you mean, huh? Motherfucker, but anywho. It's just, it's ridiculous, bro. It's ridiculous. It's like, honestly, every 4 to 8 years, one side thinks it's the fucking best of times, the other side thinks it's the fucking worst of times. Like during the fucking 8 years of Obama, Democrats had a fucking virtual hard-on, and they said, oh man, it's the greatest time. And Republicans were like, oh God, I don't know, today is the worst time ever. And then what happened in 2016? It flipped. Yeah. Republicans, most of them, oh yeah, this is, happy days are here again. And you got the Democrats, I'm literally shaking, I don't know what to do. Y'all, I mean, both y'all look like some weak bitches, man. Okay? I want to know on the real how the day before the election, you were strong and powerful, but the day after the election, you're literally shaking. You don't know what to do. Come on, man. Seriously? Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Yeah, it's a real drag. It's a real drag. And, you know, for me, where I'm at these days, there's no way in hell I'm going to vote. But I'll be told, if I don't vote, then Biden will win. And it's like, I look at that and I say, Biden, he looks like he's this. He looks like he's a few days away from being checked into a hospital. Like, you know what I mean? Well, you know what I mean? So if you vote for Biden, you're really voting for whoever his vice president is going to be. And I don't know who that's going to be.
You know what?
You know.
Me personally, I really can't use the argument because him and Trump are pretty much the same damn age, I think. You know what I'm saying? I think Biden might be a few years younger than Trump.
I think he's...
So I'm just like, it's whatever, you know?
Yeah, I know. Oh, dude, I don't think Trump's anything. It's just... Biden seems like he's unhealthy, but I don't really care.
You know what? Honestly, I'm starting to think that they put Biden up there for two reasons. One, it was his turn. Two, there's probably some big power Democrats that want that motherfucker to lose. That way, they got they have 4 years of sound bites. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like they fucking set him up to lose. So that, you know, they got a job to do for the next 4 years, which is basically just shitting on President Trump. I don't care. The only thing I can say for certain is the election is what, November 3rd, right?
I think so.
Yes. Yeah. November 3rd on a Tuesday. I can tell you that wherever I'm at, I will not be listening to the radio, and I'm going to stay off Twitter for that entire day. I'm going to be just like I did in 2016. I'm going to get up right now in the morning, put out one tweet. This is my one and only tweet, because I don't want to hear 12 hours of fucking speculations and this, that, and the third. I don't give a fuck who wins, be it Trump or Biden, because whoever wins, I still have a job to do.
Yeah.
If Trump gets reelected, great. I still have 500 miles to drive today. If Biden gets elected, great. I still got 500 miles to drive today. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to hit my numbers regardless of who the fuck is in the White House. Square business. What the fuck?
No, I think that's a good way of looking at it, Quincy. Hey, you were in Chicago this week, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
I was just wondering, it's okay if you don't want to, but I think you were in kind of like South Chicago, right?
I was south of Chicago. Man, let me pull up the address again to see exactly where the hell I was at. hold. Whoops. Not this Pete. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, first I was at the Whole Foods Distribution Center, which is south of Roseland and South Chicago. It's right on the outskirts of Chicago. That wasn't so bad at all. It was the second location I was worried about, which is, give me a sec here. Ah, there we go. That motherfucker was like in damn near downtown Chicago. Okay, it was blocks away from like Millennium Park and everything. I was a little bit worried. It was close to Chinatown and whatnot. But when I got there, I mean, one, I didn't get there at 3 o'clock in the morning. Most everybody was asleep anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was in the industrial area. There were some quote unquote artist lofts and everything. But being able to park on the street, you know, nice, quiet. I was able to get some White Castle delivered to me. Shout out to Uber Eats. Appreciate that. And got up the next morning, got unloaded, and got the fuck out of there. Yeah. And that was that. It was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Because I was thinking I was going to hit some type of resistance or whatever. But yeah, it was all cool. And I actually got to go. Have you seen the Blues Brothers?
I have seen the Blues Brothers. That's right.
Okay. Remember the scene when the movie first started and the bridge was going up and they jumped over the bridge?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually drove over that bridge. So that was pretty cool. You know?
Did you try to jump it?
The bridge was flat, being bad, and even if it wasn't, hell no, I had a truck and trailer. Even if it was just me in the truck, now my truck is fast, but not that damn fast.
No, I was just curious because it's kind of like the way in which people get pulled into the nonsense. You know, you hear a lot about Chicago being dangerous, and I don't know how dangerous it is. I don't know how bad it is. I haven't been to Chicago in years, so it's just, I don't know. It's sometimes it feels like we're fed these versions of reality that might not be true just to scare us from doing anything.
You know what? There might be some truth to what you just said. Because we hear every weekend about, oh, this many people shot, this many people shot. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Here's one thing I want to say about Republicans in general, stop bringing up black-on-black crime and stop bringing up violence in Chicago, because if you're not doing anything to curtail here from this whole black-on-black crime or the violence in Chicago, you're just talking hot air, and I don't have time for that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, people say, oh, man, there's a swing shot in Chicago, and you ain't doing nothing about it. Bitch, what the fuck are you doing about it? Huh? What the fuck are you doing about it? And as far as black on black crime, hey, man, listen. That was a made up fucking term. It's not black on black crime. It's just crime, okay? People rob other people that are close to them. It's as simple as that, okay? So in a majority black city like Detroit, yeah, of course you're going to have a lot of black people robbing other black people. You know why? There's not that many other people around that damn city, okay? Most non-black people, they stay outside of Detroit, okay? So it's like, I refuse to use that term black. Well, I almost refuse to use it. It's just like, I don't speak on black crime because, again, it's just crime. You know, and the same goes for white on white or whatever. And like, it is rare that a crime happens between two races. It's rare. that you see a black person take on a white person. Not to say that it doesn't happen, for a white person take on a black person or an Hispanic take on an Asian. It happens, but not that much, okay? Because most crime, most murders stays within the race of whoever is doing that crime.
Yep. No, I agree. Hey, can I ask you a quick question?
You can ask me whatever you want, homie.
Can you hear the dog snoring?
No, I cannot.
Okay. I think it'll be okay. It's just, he's just snoring badly.
Hey, you know what? Hey, if it shows up, it adds character to the podcast.
I agree.
It's all good.
I agree. Good point. Well, yeah, it's like, why does it have to be called black-on-black crime? You ever hear people say,
why? Because it scares white people in the suburbs and they're voting a certain way and thinking a certain way. You know goddamn well why it's called black-on-black crime. You come on, buddy.
No, but it's kind of like, but they never say. But do they ever say white on white crime?
Never.
You know, and the thing is, there is white on white crime. It happens. It's a real thing.
Every fucking day. Every fucking day, bro. I guarantee you, in Idaho and Montana and Wyoming, there's a white man doing another white man dirty. Do we call that white on white crime? No, we don't. We just say somebody got, you know, their ass whooped, or they got shot, or they got hit with something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But let you black people, you know, have a disagreement. Oh, there's a pandemic on black crime. Ah! Shut up.
That is very much the case, Quincy. That is very much the case.
Do you know who Edward Bernays is?
Yes, Edward Bernays. Wasn't he like a nephew of Sigmund Freud, and he more or less invented modern propaganda and public relations?
Yes. He would have a fucking perpetual boner if he was alive today, if he knew how much he has influenced the media, you know what I'm saying, and so-called free thinkers. He'd have a 24/7 hold on right now.
No, absolutely. Well, here's one of those four examples. There was an incident in Atlanta where a man was killed by the police, and it happened at a Wendy's. And the Wendy's eventually, I think, got burnt down. But you know who burnt it down?
White people. I saw the videos.
Yeah, but it was like a white girl burnt it down. So she basically set fire to it, and it's like, you know, people, you gotta get past this race stuff. It's not about that. It's not. It's a lot of chaos. And it's a lot of fear. I mean, you know, there's no doubt that they want to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. There is no doubt to me they want to keep us in this permanent state of fear and division. You know, anger, fear, and division.
We're too busy fighting each other, we're too busy to fight them.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. Believe me, I know. It's... I actually... I kind of hit the brick wall in the last few weeks, and I think I've spoken to you about this. I'm burnt out off of it, Quincy. I don't even like looking at the news. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, start watching the news. I can't tell you the last time that I've watched the news, either on the TV or on a smartphone. My SiriusXM is sitting here collecting dust. Because I literally haven't turned this motherfucker on in months.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I've got a ton of music on Amazon Music I can listen to. I've got shit on YouTube that I can listen to. I've got Audible books. I don't need 24/7 news cycle of doom and gloom. No, thank you.
I agree.
That shit will wear down on your psyche like nobody's business.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah. But I'm just talking about like Zero Hedge. It is one of the last places I would even go, and it's been kind of a drag. I don't know.
I don't even go there, dude. Honestly, I will, I mean, as far as social media and the news, Twitter, that's pretty much about it. I see something, trending, or I see somebody talking about something on the timeline, I'll maybe go two or three games past that, and then I'm done. I'm not saying I'm sticking my head in the sand. I'm just saying I'm being very, very selective about what I give my time, my energy, and my psyche to. I'm very, very selective about that nowadays.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Because
what you mean.
If you just focus on one thing, it will eat you the fuck up.
Do you know anything at all beyond, I mean, the basics of the story in Atlanta about what happened? I mean, and
well,
I don't...
From what I heard, it was some dude sleeping in his car. Police showed up. Apparently, he, like, grabbed a taser and was running away from them. And this way is kind of murky. Some people say he put the taser back to aim at them. Some people say he was just running away. I'll be honest with you, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't want things to worry about. Sorry for his family's loss. I don't want to see anybody dead. At the same time, I'm not going to show fake outrage or fake love. And for people getting mad and, you know, probably thinking, all right, well, if you die, we ain't gonna do nothing for you either. Fine. Thank you. If I ever get shot and killed by the police, even if they were doing me dirty, don't do shit. Don't turn me into a hashtag. Don't put me on a fucking t-shirt. Don't riot for me. Don't protest. Don't do none of that shit. Don't use me for nothing. I fuck out of here. Okay? Now, I've been hearing some reports about some cops getting the blue flu, calling in shit because the one dude got fired in charge of murder. Hey, man, what fuck did you expect, okay? Police run a tight ship, okay? There's a reason why they don't hold each other accountable. They run a fucking tight ship, you know? I want to say this. I peep game on how some of the media are framing this narrative about all these cops leaving. Like, oh my God, you know, the inmates have taken over, they're running the asylum, it's anarchy in the streets, it's the purge. And something tells me, I can't prove this, but something tells me that had this happened in a white neighborhood and had a white person been shot and killed, I think, and the cops started, you know, taking off, I think the narrative would have been, oh, this is freedom, this is liberty, this is us all, we don't need the police, we can take care of our own. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. And that's a nice ass. Hey, girl. Oh, shit. Never mind, whatever, I don't care. I'll say it.
I need
I'll
a live report. I need a live report. What did you just see, Quincy? Be very specific.
I just seen a great ass and some motherfucking hot pink leggings. And, yeah, she's walking her dog. And, Lord, that ass moving up and down was hypnotic. Oh, God, just dropped the purse and picked it up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Maybe she knows you're sitting there. What if she knows you're sitting there and she's transmitting her love signal?
I doubt that she can see me from my angle, but I can definitely see her. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
And that's another good reason.
Don't worry about it. I'm single. You know, it's all good.
I know, dude. I know. It's all good. I think it's one of the benefits of being a trekker. You've got that altitude. You know, you've got that angle. You're high up above everyone else sitting in that cab.
Believe it or not, man, I've only been flashed once in my 5 years of driving a truck. And I've only seen him on the window once, but that was by a dude, that motherfucker. It's like, son of a bitch. Oh, good Lord. Sorry, pardon me.
It's okay. So, I live about a mile away from what's now called CHOP in Seattle. That's,
oh, wait, what the fuck is CHOP?
It used to be called
CHAZ. Yeah, what the fuck is CHOP?
The Capitol Hill Occupied Protests.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Can we get a slap chop and just slap the niggas out of CHOP? Like, what the fuck? Like, What house?
Well, there was a shooting.
What?
There was a shooting in Chop.
No, you're lying. No. No, about peace and love and enlightenment and being inclusive. You're lying. Get out of here. That is fake news, Dan. Fake news.
I'm just saying, it says two people were shot, two men with gunshot wounds arrived at Harborview at 3 a.m. And one of them died, it looks like.
I refuse to believe it because from what I was told, guns weren't allowed in that zone. So, nope, I refuse to believe it. No. They have very strict, gun laws up there. I was told that only security could have guns. So how can two people get shot if there's a law in the books? Just didn't happen.
I know. Listen, I went to CHOP on Tuesday. And
I heard.
But I went.
You made it out. Congratulations.
But I went in the morning. And that's.
Smart.
Well, exactly. And what I saw? A lot of City of Seattle employees. Fire department, undercover cops. People moving in large concrete blocks to build barricades. I saw the City of Seattle building barricades for CHOP. So it's kind of like, you got to ask yourself, what the fuck are they doing? I mean, if they're putting in all this money, my guess is the hour I was there, I told my sister this morning, probably the City of Seattle, the hour I was there, spent $500,000. That's a rough estimate based on what I saw. Number of people.
$500,000 in freaking half an hour?
There, I saw over 100 people. I saw many trucks, many vehicles. I saw overtime. I mean, maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration, but you got to imagine hundreds of people basically fixing up CHOP, repairing it, restoring it, resupplying it, and pretty much all of them looking like City of Seattle employees. One of them looking like a very high-level fire department guy. And I got the videos. You can take a look if you ever want to. But it was kind of creepy, Quincy. It was like, it was basically, have you ever seen that show Westworld?
The one with Kevin Costner?
No, it's the robots.
That was something else.
Yeah, that's Waterworld.
Sorry.
It's cool, dude. It's cool. Westworld's one of these shows that was put out by, I want to say HBO or something, or I think it's Showtime or HBO. But basically, when the robots are sleeping, the scientists and engineers will come in and fix everything, right? To fix the towns up, the make-believe places. This looked like that. I mean, it was like all the robots are sleeping, so the people actually running things, came in to do the repair, the resupply, the fixing. It was just weird. It was clear to me, what I had already assumed is the City of Seattle supported this. It's clear to me the City of Seattle is sponsoring this. They're putting a lot of resources into this, or at least they have up until this point. I don't know if a person was killed or not. You know what I'm saying? But it seems to me the City of Seattle has put money into the place where the crazy stuff can happen. I don't know if that makes any sense the way I'm saying it, but it's weird.
I would say at the very least they are condoning it. Me personally, if I was mayor, I'd nip that shit in the butt immediately. I don't give a fuck about the optics. I give a fuck about the results. You're not going to just shut down local businesses and take over a whole section of city property because you're mad. You got me all the way fucked up.
I'm gonna tell you, there are people that live in that neighborhood, Quincy, that probably pay for a regular size one bedroom apartment between $2,000 and $3,000 a month. And from Yeah. And I'm sure there are people that own condos.
That's fucking New York City prices.
Yeah, that's Seattle too, dude. Seattle's crazy. Dude,
I did not know that Seattle was that expensive.
I pay $1,000 a month for where I live, and if you saw, I basically live in a closet.
How many square feet is that?
I think I have 200 square feet.
Fuck you! I'm sorry. Wait, that was involuntary, and I apologize.
Oh, so cool. I agree with it.
You're paying $1,000 a month for a 200 square foot studio.
Basically, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need to see a size of your spot because I'm having a hard time believing that, bro. It could be in the DM or text message, but if you're truly paying $1,000 for 200 square feet, that's like literally 10 by 20.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but yeah.
Man. My whole living room was 10 by 20. Come on, son.
Dude, I'm not fucking with you. I am not fucking with you. I am not.
Jesus. Okay. Wow. Okay. Oh, you know what? I mean, listen. If it works for you, works for you. I don't want to come up as a dick. But if it works for you, it works for you. That just confirms why I'm not living, you know, up north anywhere like that. Or in a major city because I can get the cheaper down south and in the country. Yeesh.
That's right. It is cheaper other places. And I know that sounds crazy, Quincy, but it's absolutely the truth. I pay $1,000 a month. I guess it's about 200 square feet. I will say this. All of the utilities are rolled in, but there's no air conditioning. And the heater's kind of terrible. That they give you a little electric heater. You know, they do include internet, and the internet's okay. It's not bad. But really, is that worth $1,000 a month? Not really.
No, not to me at least. I feel like this year, I was up like earlier this month in Utica with the homie, and he said it's in an older apartment building. His is probably 10 by 20. You know, it's literally a studio apartment. He's paying $600, and it comes with all bills paid. And it's just like yours. It doesn't have any AC, but then again, it's Utica, fucking New York. They're like a half hour from Canada, so it doesn't get that damn hot up there.
True.
And everything. But yeah, he's paying $600 a month, all bills paid. And I think even the Wi-Fi is included too. But I'm a cheap son bitch. Anywhere in hell.
Quincy, you make a good point, though. You know, Mike and I went to CHOP on Tuesday, and we actually noticed people living there who were just pissed off, livid. Livid because they pay property taxes, and it looked like their property taxes were being used to basically seal them into some communist hellhole. So it's like, that's fucked up. If I lived in a neighborhood where I saw the mayor basically building a ghetto around where I live, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? I pay taxes. I mean, and I don't believe in the tax bullshit, but these people think that works, like paying their taxes works. So they're not happy. It's, in fact, you know, that's the thing. I think it's kind of a powder keg, Quincy, the whole thing.
Hell yeah. That's just going to blow up eventually. It's either going to be the people who are there protesting, or the people who actually live there. One of them is going to fuck up one of the other people, and it's going to turn it into straight chaos.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, it's bound to happen. This is not going to last forever. First of all, your worst case scenario, they'll protest until it starts getting cold. Then they're going to go the fuck home, okay? Because I know it gets pretty fucking cold up there in the wintertime. You know what I mean?
It can get cold.
And, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to, like, honestly, when was the last time we seen a large-scale protest in the wintertime? Doesn't happen that much. You know what? Motherfuckers get cold. You know what I mean? So, I figure at worst, you got it until October, November. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, the first time a resident gets fucked up by somebody over there protesting, I think that would be the freaking end of it. Or if you see some overdoses in that zone, that could knock that shit out too.
But it's messed up because I'm not kidding. I am certain on Tuesday, in addition to everything else I saw a lot of undercover cops. And it's like, to me, there, I don't think there's anything happening in CHOP or CHAZ that the city of Seattle is not aware of. And I know that sounds...
Wait, how do you know that they're undercover cops, brother?
It's a guess, but some of the bikers, some of the routines they were using, it just looked a lot like what I saw from the bike police a few weeks ago. I can't guarantee they're undercover, but it just... It was weird. Take a look at the videos if you ever get time. It's weird how these people were talking to each other, coordinating. It was just weird. It didn't seem like some kind of organic protest. It seemed like a planned, organized, like a movie. Like, you know, a movie set where they're setting up props and shit? That's what it seemed like. And I know that sounds crazy, but look at the videos.
I would not be surprised, you know.
It's like the food. They're growing food there, but it's obvious there's no intention to survive. They can't grow. Even if they were doing it right, they couldn't grow enough food to feed themselves. But they're not even trying to do it right. It's like they're just half-assing it.
Yes, because they know they ain't going to be there that long. First of all, you start a garden. It's the start of summer. You got to fast 3 months to get something popping off. Then it's gonna start getting cold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know too many people who grow food in the cold. You know what I'm saying? And based on what seeds you have, that's going to determine what you're getting. It's like it's June 20th now. If the 1st of July we start seeing motherfuckers up there with big ass baskets of fruit and vegetables that they hear in this folk grew, I'm gonna be suspect. Cause I'm like, I know. Squash can't grow that damn quick to that damn size.
Yeah.
So what the fuck, you know?
I think you're right. They may try to do a propaganda thing where they make it look like they're growing food, but I saw no evidence that they can grow anything other than maybe some oregano, you know, some herbs.
That wasn't oregano. That was a shitty ass weed.
Yeah, or shitty ass weed. Oh my, I don't know. It's so ridiculous. Hey, can I ask you
it really is.
Sorry. Go ahead. I interrupted you.
No, I was just saying it truly is. And yes, you can ask me, tell me, you can ask me whatever. Don't matter to me, though.
I was thinking of switching topics here. How long have you been a trucker? Like, how many years?
I hit 5 years in March, and it was the best thing I've ever done with my life.
Cool. Do you currently have, like, a city that, you know, and you don't have to say, but I thought it would be an interesting thing to talk about. Do you have a favorite city that you've visited so far?
You know what? I'm going to receive an email. I started thinking, like, do I have a favorite city? And I really don't have a specific city. I have some areas that I like, you know what I'm saying? One of them being pretty much anywhere in a small town America because, I don't know, man, it just makes me feel happy driving down a main street in a city that's got like maybe 10, 20, 30,000 people. I don't know. I just feel calm and peaceful. It puts me in a better state of mind, especially depending on what area that it's at. Some of those small towns, it's like, going to a small town in, say, Pennsylvania or New Jersey, feels way different from, say, driving in a small town in, like, say, Washington or Oregon or something like that.
Yeah.
Both are awesome, but each has its own individual charm to it. Cities, you know, everything. Cities. You know what? I'm going to say these cities. And I would say the reason why they're favorite is only because I know I don't have any problem finding a parking spot. Salina, Kansas. Or should I say anywhere along I-70 in Kansas. Salina, Kansas has three really big truck stops. You know, I was trying to park a spot there no matter what time of day or night. Laramie, Wyoming. Because it's got a huge petrol. I've gotten there at midnight and had no problem getting in the back row and finding me a damn parking spot. Missoula, Montana, just because I like the name, and that was the closest city to that fatality I was in a couple years ago. Oregon's pretty awesome. I mean, the streets themselves are batshit crazy, but the city itself looks cool, okay? Same goes for Eugene, Oregon, Grants Pass, Oregon. Every city in California on Highway 395, from I-5 all the way to Reno, those cities are pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like, you know, I'm kind of with you. And it's a weird question, like, hey, what's your favorite city? Because I'm kind of like you. My favorite cities aren't cities. I like small towns. You know, it's not that I don't like cities, but I used to like Indianapolis, believe it or not. A long time.
Why?
Well, that's a good question, because I ended up going back there after my divorce in 2014. I'd moved there after I left the Army in 1999, and it may be what I remembered liking about it is that it was a place where I kind of got back on my feet. But I liked it. And then when I went back there in 2014, it was like, well, this isn't the same town I even remember 10 years earlier, you know? But yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know. I liked Indianapolis, but I don't know. All these cities seem to have the same problems at this point. A lot of over...
I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. But a lot of these cities have these overbearing governments that want to run your life and ruin the roads by putting green trails everywhere. And it doesn't matter where you go. You know, the first thing I saw when I got to Indianapolis in 2014 were these, you know, bicycle trails, bicycle roads everywhere. It's like, you know, I'm not against bicycles or people riding bikes, but they're actually making the traffic worse. And they're making the pollution worse. And it was like, I thought, well, I left Seattle. And the reason why I left Seattle is so I could escape this nonsense. And the nonsense is everywhere now. So I think I'm with you, Quincy. I think I prefer small towns over cities, you know.
You know, the same thing happened to Austin. I got to Austin a month before 9/11 in 2001. And to say that it was a sleepy college town back then, a fucking understatement, okay? It was sleepy college town, riding the bus 50 cents, free on Sundays and whatnot. And from, let's say, August of 2001 up until when I left the first time in December of 2009, it severely changed. You know, you saw all these venues shutting down that were great for live music and just good old drinking and fucking, and putting up, you know, all these high-rise condos or putting down just a parking lot and whatnot. And I'm just like, well, cities are changing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I, left in 2009, came back in 2010 because Boulder, Colorado fucked me up. That's a whole other damn story. And, I didn't recognize it. Same goes for Houston. I left Houston. Yeah, I left Houston, to go to Austin, August 2001. The baseball stadium, Minute Maid Park, was just being built. And downtown Austin was still, you could still get fucked up for doing some dumb shit. And, I didn't go to Houston for another 10 years. And, went back and damn, I don't even recognize that town anymore. It's crazy. Like right off this, right off the convention center, there used to be these abandoned buildings where me and the homies used to throw sick ass raves. They're all artisan lofts now, going for like $3,000 a month. I'm like, are you kidding me? Motherfucker, I've done acid there, I've done cocaine there, like, you motherfuckers, like, wow, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's, I don't know, It's a weird question. It's one of those things that makes me think about the choices I've made in my own life, like where I've lived and stuff. I used to think Seattle was a good town a long time ago, and it turned into kind of a crappy town, and it's got a lot of negative vibes, you know, a lot of negative energy, especially these days. So it's like, you know, I don't know. It's a weird question. What's your favorite city? Because maybe all the cities kind of suck now. I just don't know.
No, I would say definitely being out of my travels, there are still some cool kick-ass places around continental U.S. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been in some really cool cities like Miami, Utica, New York. Even though it's New York, it's upstate New York, which is surprisingly red, to be honest with you. Utica, New York is surprisingly red. Same goes for Albany and Rochester and Buffalo and Syracuse. They are surprisingly red. Okay, I'm not saying Texas red, but they're freaking New York red, which is a start. Again, every city I've been, I can find something good with it. I can find something bad with it, which I know, to it, one of your questions says, what are the worst cities? I'm speaking on this strictly on traffic and warehouses. LA can suck you from the back, okay? Just what the fuck? LA is the big reason why there's a lot of trucks, a lot of truck drivers that refuse to set foot in California, and I get that. But again, I'm a greedy capitalist pig. Fucking pay me. I'll drive this bitch anywhere you want. Don't care.
Gotcha.
But LA traffic sucks. The warehouses suck. Some of the people there suck. Same goes for Atlanta. I mean, there's some really effed up spots in there that I'm just like, yeah, almighty.
How familiar with Atlanta are you? Like, have you spent?
You know what? I'm actually not that familiar with it because it's like I never lived actually in Marietta when I was down there with my girl. We lived in north of Marietta. North of Atlanta in Marietta, Georgia. It's about a half hour north of actual proper Atlanta.
Gotcha.
So I don't really know much about that, but the parts that I did see, I kind of like, I actually got to go to the infamous Claremont Lounge when I was in Atlanta, which is a pretty good high point for me. I heard about it on the show Insomniac. It was some comedian doing late night sets in cities. They would go to check out the late night in that city. Well, he was in Atlanta. We went to the Claremont Lounge, which is a strip club, and all the dancers are either old and or fat.
You said it's the Claremont, right? The Claremont Lounge?
The Claremont Lounge is in Atlanta, Georgia. There was a chick there crushing beer cans with the beans. There were chicks there that were old enough to be my auntie, which just getting full on butt naked. I was just like, you go, girls. You go. I ain't mad at you.
Claremont Lounge, adult entertainment club. It's open till 3 a.m. That's what it says.
Yep. Oh, and to show you just how fucking washed up me and my girl are, we went there on a Saturday afternoon at like 5 o'clock and it just opened. Ha! But we had a damn good time, though.
Yeah.
Like she enjoyed it more than I did. She's over there throwing dollars and whatnot and getting titties in the face. I'm like, motherfucker, okay.
Well, I don't have that many other topics unless you wanted to discuss something else. And I do want to apologize, Quincy. I've been kind of burnt out the last week and I just
have... Yeah, stop getting burnt out, bro. Stop letting this shit get to you, bro.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, cut that shit. Cut it off and then cut it out, man. Like, they want you, like, you're falling into their hands. They want you burnt out. They want you stressed. Don't give them bitches the satisfaction, bro. Don't do it. If you feel yourself getting in that place, man, fucking put on some music that you got to hear, you know what I'm saying, or you live alone, throw on some porn, do something, I don't know, but don't get these bitches the fucking satisfaction, bro. Don't do that.
Well, Well, that's good. That is good advice. The problem with good advice is it's often hard to take it. You know what I mean? It's like what you're saying, I agree with. And I try every strategy I can come up with to sort of take the toxic, nightmarish bullshit and just wash it out of my brain. But it's gross. A lot of it's so gross and so dehumanizing. And I think your attitude is correct, Quincy. You have a good attitude. It's just that, you know, I've always been a bit dark. And the last few months have just taken my darkness.
Me too.
Well, you know what I mean, dude. Gosh, now you're going to think I'm racist.
Yeah, I've always been a little dark my whole life. Go figure. But, dude, I get it. But, dude, at the same time, I'm not saying stick your head in the sand and just like, oh, I don't hear nothing, don't see nothing, don't speak nothing. I'm just saying be more selective in what you choose to give your time, energy, and psyche to.
I agree.
That's it. Be real selective of that.
I agree. You're 100% correct. You know, I've even had a thought, though I'd have to, you know, not use weed for about a month, but listening to you talking about being a truck driver, and I don't want to confirm this, but I've been thinking the last few days, like, maybe that would be something for me to do with the, with my time. Because I've gotten sick of programming computers, and the money, let me put it this way, for the hassle, the money's not necessarily that good for the bullshit. For all the bullshit, it's not.
If you don't mind me asking, how much was your last paycheck?
I would usually take home on contract after taxes, roughly. And again, I was on contract, so it was a weekly. Roughly after taxes, around $1,500 a week, $1,500 to $1,700.
Okay, now you can definitely make that as a truck driver, but you're gonna have to hustle for it.
Yeah, but okay. I don't care. I don't need to make that much money, Quincy, is my point. Like, for me to live, I have to make about $2,000 a month. And
you can definitely do that shit. Bro.
Yeah.
That's it.
And if I'm not paying for rent, like, let's say I lived inside of a vehicle, like, you know that they have a little...
I'm doing that right now. I'm living inside of my truck until the day after the election.
Well, I kind of think that's cool. And I have actually thought about it. I know a friend of mine, I gave him your phone number. He's currently in law enforcement and he doesn't like it. He did it because he needed to take care of his family. He doesn't like it. And I said, you know what? Maybe this trucking thing is a great idea. I gotta say that I've met a lot of people in recent years who've gotten into trucking and very few of them have said, I regret it. A lot of them, it seems like it's been almost liberating. I don't know.
It really is, man. It really is, man. Like, just, damn, dude. It's to me personally, it's as close to being a cowboy as possible in this day and age. I can tell you right now, you're not going to be micromanaged all the damn time. Yes, there's going to be those times where you're under a hot load and either the broker or dispatch might call you once every hour, hey, where you at? But those days are few and far in between, okay? I got paid yesterday. Last week was a slow week. I think I drove maybe 3 days last week and still made $854 after taxes and whatnot. 23 days work, not too shabby.
That's not bad.
Not too shabby.
No, that's not bad at all. Especially. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
My highest check after taxes was around $1,700, and I hustled my ass off for that one.
Yeah.
I'm shooting to beat that, being that I'm making more per mile than I was when I made that check. You know what I'm saying? But again, man, as far as truck driving, it's if you like to travel, this is the job for you. You're definitely going to see a bunch of the country. Even if you just do regional, you're still going to see a lot of the country. Like for you being up there, You say you want to be regional. Okay, they might have you just take the I-5 corridor from Washington to Cali and back. The occasional Idaho or Montana. Not Montana. The occasional Idaho or say Nevada or something, or maybe even Utah. But you might stay in that little region, and you're still gonna see some cool shit out there, man. But it's just like, to me, honestly, it's freedom. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember watching a special. I can't remember what, it may have been PBS. I don't know. It was a special on truck drivers, and this was like 99, 2000. I'll never forget. There's this Russian dude. He's either from Russia or the Ukraine, and he's driving down the road, and he's just screaming, "This is freedom! I love America! This is freedom! This is freedom!" Just like, wow, that guy really loves driving a fucking truck, you know? Yeah. And it just stuck with me, you know?
I have my brother-in-law, and you know, Beans, the dog I'm watching, that's, you know, my sister and his dog. He does regional trucking. He stays in the Washington State, Pacific Northwest area. But he'll go up to Canada and make deliveries. I mean, he does mainly fuel trucks, fuels and oils and stuff like that, and de-icer. Right. So he's running tankers. But he'll go up to Canada sometimes. Yeah. He'll go to Montana. I think he really likes it. I think he would say the similar thing, that it's a lot of freedom for him.
I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I love getting up knowing that I'm gonna, you know, sleep in a whole nother state, maybe even a whole nother time zone or some shit. That's just cool to me, man. Like, it's just cool for me to, like, you know, test myself and push myself and see how far I can go. Like, my record is 762 miles in one day. You know what I'm saying?
That's pretty good.
I like that shit. Yes, it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's cool. Are there bad days? Yeah. Yeah. But for me, I can't speak for anyone else. Even my bad days outweigh the good days back in my previous life. You know what I'm saying? Because I wasn't doing nothing but just making bad decisions and wasting my fucking life away from drunk driving. And this shit, it came through. And, yeah, I really can't see myself doing anything else besides driving the truck. So I say all that to say this, dog. You want to pop that clutch, take the plunge, dog. Let me know, you know what I'm saying? I can have you hired inside of a week once you get clean.
Well, I'll tell you what. I can't confirm it yet, but I'm going to be I am actually seriously thinking about it, just because my choices are, currently, I can go and work contracts in Seattle, which usually means working for Microsoft, and I hate Microsoft, really hate the company, you know, or move to another city and try to do the same thing someplace else. But the problem is a lot of software engineering now, Quincy, is the same crap everywhere. It's not even about problem solving. It's really stupid. So I'm thinking about it, believe it or not, thinking about a couple possibilities. You know, it's a big decision because I have to make personal changes in my life immediately if I want to make it happen. And I'm willing to do it if it makes sense. So I'm thinking about it, believe it or not. Yeah. I
hey,
am.
Man, listen, whatever play you make, I will back you up 100%. Fuck it. You know what I mean? But if it's trucking, bruh, I got you. Like I said, I have helped two people become truck drivers, you know what I'm saying? One of them just hit 2 years, yeah. One of them just hit 2 years. Another one is about to hit 6 months if he hasn't hit it already. You know what I mean? So yeah, dude, it's not a bad gig, bro. This is a recession-proof industry. You know, this is a plague-proof industry. This virus is proof that much because my work hasn't slowed down at all.
Oh. Well, people got to get their beer. They got to get their burgers. They got to get their fuel. You know, at the end of the day,
they got to get their everything. You know what? You say that. Surprisingly, fuel, at least as far as jet fuel, has gone down. Because I got a friend in Wyoming delivers jet fuel to the airport in Cheyenne and Jackson Hole. And he's just like, yeah, man, it's like a bone gun. Nobody's flying up here to come ski or hike or whatever. So some industries and some facets of the trucking industry are seeing a downturn. Others, such as reefer and dry van and flatbed, we're not.
How hard of a transition is it for somebody to go from, like, being a tanker driver to being a dry bed driver? Is it more or less the same thing, or is it a transition?
It is a transition. I went from dry van to tanker. By transition, we're talking worst case scenario. You know what I'm saying? Like, pretty much by the end of the second day, you should be comfortable doing what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hey, Quincy, I'm going to call it a day for today's podcast, but like I said the last time, I think it would be cool to try to do this, you know, either every week or every other week if you're still up to it. And I promise to have a better attitude here in a week or so. I've got to get my shit together. I know that.
Listen, bro. You got to get a hold of that.
Yeah.
Okay? Because, again, as somebody who's been in a deep, dark, damp corner, that shit will eat you the fuck up if you let it. Don't let it. Okay? Starve the beast, homeboy. Starve the fucking beast. Believe you me when I say I've been where you've been at and lower, okay? Don't want no portion at home, boy. Not even a little bit, okay? I'm not saying, you know, put on a happy face and fake it. I'm just saying focus on the positives in your life, whatever that may be. It can be something as simple as, hey, I woke up with all my fingers this morning. Something? That's something.
It is.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Listen, I look at beans.
I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure there's maybe at least 1,000 people that didn't wake up with the same number of fingers they had yesterday. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing is, I'm joking in a way, but not really, but I look at beans and I feel like he's only going to live to be about 10 years old and he'll never really be able to do anything a normal dog can do, but he keeps a kind of attitude together, and he seems okay. So maybe
okay,
I just...
Okay, if you're going to 10 years old, that's 70 years old in human years, remember?
That's true.
So 10 for a dog will be a damn good life, you know?
Yeah. Well, on that note, I'm going to let you go, but please have a great rest of your day. You said you're on a stop right now, right?
Yes, my next delivery isn't until tomorrow at 9 o'clock at night, and I am only 5 miles away. So yeah, I'm good up in this motherfucker.
Cool. Well, hang out, chill out.
I need to sleep in.
Yeah. Be safe, and I will talk to you again sometime here soon, okay?
Yes, anybody listening, be good, be safe, be blessed and unstressed, you know, and listen, live your life as you see fit, and later for all that fuck shit, okay? If somebody hating on you, yeah, fuck them. It's your life, not yours. Yeah, it's your life, not theirs. You live it how you see fit, right?
Well, that is good advice, and you have a good one, Quincy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.